Okay, I'm going to talk to you about escape and martial law and God's tsunamis. This is a revelation given to Sandy Shaw on the 9th of this month. And she said in a dream two times, and I believe this has to do with Joseph saying it would surely come to pass, if it's repeated, right? In the dream, two times, I am standing in Corona, California, on 6th Street, and I heard planes that shot missiles. And I saw them hit the buildings and explode. Well, just from what we've already heard from the Lord, I think that this is probably applying to false flag, which I asked Sandy about, and she said she felt that was right. False flags to bring martial law so that the Constitution, the balance of powers, and election can be overthrown. Sandy said, I also saw military men walking on foot with their rifles amongst a lot of chaos. Well, we know from the dreams that we've already received that the radical Islamists in this country will cause the chaos in order to bring martial law, in order to thwart the election and overthrow the country. And by the way, I want to say that the voting machines have been hacked to change elections since G.W. Bush. We really have to put our faith in God to change this government, not putting our faith in the voting machine or the number of people that can do it, because it's so easily switched around. That's been proven. Just look, do a search on the internet and you'll find out what I'm talking about. It's been proven over and over that these voting machines are made to be hacked very easily. So we have to put our faith in God to bring us a good government, which we do not deserve, but at least one that will give us a relative peace to have 3.5 years of training by the new government, new spiritual government that God's sending us. She said people were running everywhere. The military were either shooting or arresting people. I knew that those being arrested were going to FEMA camps. And, well, you know, I believe the right wing and many apostate Christians are going to be removed and imprisoned, as God said would happen in dreams and visions and prophecies, even some that we have had ourselves. And anyway, Missy Pollock emailed me on martial law, and she said, when I got back from the prayer meeting this morning, the sound of locusts got my attention. What came to mind was that this year is the 17-year locust. Then came to my mind was the Joel army, the Joel's northern army, who were, by the way, likened unto locusts for multitude in Joel chapter 1. And then I remembered the 17-year war cycles of Israel and the United States. And I thought about Ezekiel 17, where it talks about civil war between the two eagles. And I do believe in Ezekiel 17. Now, let me go on to say that before that happened, before the civil war happened, there was a gathering in of the bad leadership of God's people into bondage in Babylon. So let me carry on with what she was saying here. She said, I remembered that I had received Ezekiel 17 verses a lot here recently. Most recently, I asked the Lord if martial law was going to happen before the end of September, and I received on 8-5 Ezekiel 17 and 12. Say now to the rebellious house, which is Christianity in our day, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took the king thereof and the princes thereof and brought them to him to Babylon. Of course, this is the apostate leadership of God's people, which Babylon took into captivity, Zedekiah and his gang, who would not listen to the prophets or the word of the Lord and was just going their own way. So God took them out of the way. And yes, martial law would fulfill this captivity to Pharaoh, to Sennacherib, to Haman, and all the other types before they fell. Okay, so I do believe that this is talking about this. The going into captivity, bringing God's people into captivity, apostate people into captivity, before they themselves fell. None of them could take the bride out. She said, I asked if martial law was going to come through civil unrest and received three heads for a yes. Yeah, amen. I think I asked for something very similar to that and got the same thing. I also received verse 10. She starts out in Proverbs 25 and 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. And I know that a lot of people are striving with the government instead of striving in spiritual warfare. They're attempting to bring things to pass in the flesh and wrestling with flesh and blood instead of principalities and powers. And, of course, this is always ends bad. It always ends bad. Verse 9 says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself and disclose not the secret of another. And, of course, politicians never do that. They never do what the church is commanded to do, is go to your brother, you and them alone. In some cases, they would do a whole lot better if they did that. But they're not, because they're out to sway the public. Lest he that heareth it revile thee, and thine infamy turn not away. And I'm taking from this in the context that she asked and got this answer, that those striving in the flesh with this administration will end up bringing them into captivity. She said the other two times were on 7:23:16, and I received verse 23, and on 7:31:16, and I got verse 24. All these verses were my verses for the prayer meeting on those days. And so here's the text, both 23 and 24 here. Ezekiel 17:22, and I'm going to read through 24. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar. Now there was a similar prophecy of this earlier in Ezekiel 17 concerning Zedekiah and his leadership who were taken into captivity. But this is a replacement here. So listen to it carefully. Thus saith the Lord, I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one. And I will plant it upon a high and a lofty mountain. And I believe this is talking about Zion, the bride, so on and so forth. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar. Well, that couldn't have been said of Zedekiah and his gang. And under it shall dwell all birds of every wing, speaking all kinds of, I believe, in our day, Christianity, right? In the shade of the branches thereof shall they dwell, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. Now that was Zedekiah. and have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it." And notice he said all the trees are going to realize that God did this, removed this bad, evil leadership. I'm talking about, at this point, the bad, evil leadership over God's people. He used the pagan Babylonish government to do it, and then he replaced them. Now, you know, after martial law takes apostate Christianity captive, and the government falls at the quake and tsunami on D.C., the man-child government will begin to rise because God's people know, or we can see from God's people, that history is being repeated here. Isaiah 9 and 5, I'm going to read through 7 here. And again, this is a prophecy of Jesus coming in that body of the Son of David. And also, it's a prophecy of Jesus coming in the body of the modern-day corporate Son of David. Isaiah 9 and 5, because prophecies have many fulfillments, you know, but they are always a repeat of history. Psalm 95, "For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for fuel of fire." So there's going to be a slaughter at the beginning of this thing. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder." And this is, of course, the man-child Jesus and the modern-day man-child today in whom Jesus lives. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And so he is. Oh, praise God. "And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end." Now that's very unusual, because in our day that can truly be true, just as it was in Jesus' day. His government all along has been very successful and been very much at peace. But there's been a break between his government 2,000 years ago and this coming born-again government that God is going to promote over his kingdom in these days. And truly, when this one starts, it's never going to finish. "Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God is very zealous to bring this to pass. He wants to give, just as he said in Isaiah, a new government to his people. The Son of God came in a body of the Son of David at the time of the Roman beast oppression, and history will repeat on a larger corporate scale now. We have a revival of the Roman Empire, you know. And this reminded me of Patricia Green's dreams and visions of a New York, D.C., North Carolina, Florida tsunami while Obama is in office. And I believe this is when the D.C. government is destroyed by asteroids bringing tsunami and triggering these great earthquakes to go across the country. I believe that's what this is all about. "And the Lord said to her, my hand of judgment will come against your nation while he is president." That is Obama. Judgment is going to start. And against the whole nation. Not just from Obama to the Christians and the right wing, but against the whole nation. This is what's going to bring down that government. And she also spoke about places of refuge in the country that the Lord had set up, that the Lord spoke to her about. So let me quote just a little piece of what she said here. She said, the Lord said, this wave will hit the East Coast. Warn the people to get out. This mighty wave will devastate coastal cities and will wash inland for many miles. Florida will be decimated because it's just barely above sea level. Washington, D.C. will be underwater. And from other revelations, we know that Washington, D.C. gets an earthquake, and then the tsunami comes in. It gets an earthquake. Quite a few people have seen the buildings drop on the government. So, that's very interesting. And I remember one brother, the Lord told him that he was going to be standing over the rubble to make sure nobody came out from under that rubble that weren't supposed to be in the new government. I said, well, that's interesting too. That would be the only way really you could change this situation, because it's corrupt from both sides. Republican and Democrat and up and down. They're all bought out or bribed out or threatened out, you know. So anyway, she went on to say New York Harbor will flood the city. In North Carolina, the water will come as far as the mountains. The water will not go beyond the Appalachian Mountains. There are those who will not believe what you are reporting, the Lord told her. They will perish in the wave. Millions of people will lose their lives. And a little bit further down, she says, it will be a season of devastation from all directions. The first devastation will hit, and when she is reeling, speaking about America, when she is reeling from that one, the next one will be right on its heels. I can tell you exactly what that is. We've already heard about that. And when it looks like it cannot get any worse, indeed it will. This series of devastating events will bring her to her knees. That would be good. Knees are good, I think. I hope this is meaning prayer, right? I believe it will bring revival. We've already heard that it will bring revival. She will realize she is no longer the powerful nation she once was. Yep, God can make you a third world nation in a hurry. He said, look to the skies and you will see the first devastation. And I believe that that is the asteroids and fireballs that are coming, will be coming in. We've already heard about. Look to the sea and you will see the next devastation. I believe that's the tsunamis. Both in the Gulf and on the East Coast, and eventually on the West Coast. And look to the earth, and you will see the third devastation. And I believe that's talking about the earthquakes traveling from east to west in the United States. And, of course, after this, the new government is formed, because the earthquakes take down the government on the East Coast. And she went on to say, prophesy, I, the Lord of the heavens, the earth, and beneath the earth, have spoken. That's the three places the judgments will come from. And we don't know how long these things will stretch out, but it seems to come in a relatively short period of time. I believe martial law may not cease, though, even though Trump may go into the place of president, it may not be what we have called the president in the past, because we're going to be in constant emergencies all the way through the tribulation period, as you know, and desperate situations. So martial law may not cease, but at any rate, we may have a more peaceful leadership for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, until the 10-king beast government comes into complete control and the war against the saints in Revelation 13 begins. Okay. So let's go back to Sandy's dream and the coming martial law. I was trying to tell people where to go for safety. No one would listen. I believe this is because so many times the place of safety is right in the middle of trouble, just like earthquakes or whatever. And this is to keep the double-minded who walk by sight under chastening. Everybody's looking for a place of safety, but it's not really a place of safety if all the pagans show up, especially the pagan Christians who are under judgment. So God's got a way of doing that. But we know that righteousness delivereth from death, as is said in Proverbs. Then I saw Sandy, my sister-in-law. This is Sandy's dream, but this is about her sister-in-law too. And Ricky in a safe building. I went there behind them and said, "Sandy, where's the boys?" And she didn't answer. Well, we found out later in this dream that she discovered that she was an unseen observer in the spirit. So sometimes people didn't relate to her, but she did say things and did point out things. I said it again, "Sandy, where did you leave the boys?" And when she didn't answer, I said, "You always leave them wherever, and they need you now." I left the building thinking I was going to look for them. Instead, I saw my cousin, Marcia. I called to her, "Marcia." I believe that Marcia might be short for martial law, or those under martial law. And she looked at me, and I said, "Follow me to a place of safety." I tried to grab her hand, but she didn't take it. But she did follow me. So, I mean, she may not have known she was there, but she did. And when we got to the safe place, I said, "Where is my Uncle Johnny?" And at that moment, Marcia said, "Daddy." She thought about her dad. This suggestion from Sandy in the spirit realm evidently touched her mind, which the Lord does that sometimes. And she had a desire to know about her daddy. So we took off running about 3 blocks. He answered the door, and we got into the car. We drove past El Cerrito, which means hill, to the mountain. And I believe this is probably representing climbing Mount Zion to safety in Jerusalem. It represents overcoming by leaving the world below for heavenly places in the presence of God on Mount Zion. And under King David, the man-child. The Lord is going to use the man-child ministry to save the people of God, to provide for the people of God, and so on and so forth, just like He used the body of the Son of David, in whom Jesus, the Son of God, lived, right? So, Sandy said, halfway up, Marcia stopped, and I told her, "If anyone comes up here, just go higher up the mountain. But don't leave the mountain." Well, this is very symbolic because the mountain represents abiding in Christ. Yes, it represents Zion, but abiding in Christ, who is the secret place of the Most High. He's our Psalm 91 Passover, right? And so that's a place of safety. And then she said, "Daddy, we're going to stay here until someone comes. And then we'll go higher." In other words, she took the suggestion that was spoken into her mind by Sandy, right? Very interesting. "Then we'll go higher up the mountain. We'll be okay because I have water and dry food in the trunk of the car." And that's when I realized that I was an observer. People weren't listening. That's why Sandy didn't respond about the boys and Marcia wouldn't take my hand. A scene changed where I take an active part. And I believe that this is God's reply to the martial law takeover of the United States and the captivity of God's people to Pharaoh, for instance. It's a tsunami to take Pharaoh and his leadership out, like Sennacherib, the northern army in Joel 2, and Haman and his leadership. The man-child comes to overthrow kingdoms, the Bible says, with the destroyer, as it was in Egypt. So I don't doubt these physical tsunamis that are coming to bring judgment, but I don't also doubt spiritual waves of the enemy to come, which is what the martial law and all the things that they've plotted against the Christians is meaning. So she said, I'm on a beach, but I don't know where. And I believe the beach here represents the seed of Abraham, who are as the sand by the seashore. So she's with the righteous. She's standing on the beach. She's with the righteous. But as you know, we can't just hang out in Jerusalem. You know, we have a job to do to save God's people and even those who are meant to be God's people in the near future. So we have a job to do, and we are working for the Lord, right? But she went on to say, my feet are barely touching the water. And I believe this means that she seeks to help the captives who are among the wicked, angry sea, because the scripture speaks of that. Isaiah 57 and 20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. And also Revelation 17 and 15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So we see that the sea and its waves are many times the wicked. Matter of fact, you know how waves are. They constantly reproach the beach, right? They constantly want to overcome the beach, right? That's what they try to do, and that's why it represents the wicked. They're that troubled sea, right? That wants to take out the sand, which is Abraham's seed, right? Yet, like Israel passing through the Red Sea, it can't touch them. Our Red Sea is coming before the wilderness tribulation, just like history, when Pharaoh and his army will be consumed. Now, I know what this consumed means. It means the spirits that are involved in these people. Some of them don't even know what they're doing. They don't know why the government's doing this. They've been deceived, so on and so forth. But, as you know, if a new government comes along, the army will then, as far as the first government, be dead and be working for the second government, right? So we have to remember that. I know a lot of you have people in the military, have children in the military, and so on and so forth, and some of them don't even know what's going on, you know? And God knows that. Jeremiah 5 and 22 says, fear ye not me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand, that is the righteous, for the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? Well, what he's saying is, the lot of the scepter of the wicked won't rest on the lot of the righteous. Okay? Well, why does God let beast armies overtake, for instance, Israel and Christianity? Because they're not what they seem to be. They haven't followed the word of God. In every case, God rebukes them for not hearing his voice and obeying his voice. Okay? And so the beast can't conquer the righteous, the truly righteous. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. So that should comfort you, folks. You shouldn't worry. You should put your faith in God, which is what primarily makes you righteous in the first place, and trust him. I mean, I know God's going to have people even in FEMA camps to preach the gospel. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, you have a really captive audience. So nothing wrong with that. The Lord can get you out of there when he gets getting ready, but he has people everywhere. And Proverbs 12 and 7 says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." Oh, praise God. Even those among us who are Judases, or, as the Bible says, wild waves of the sea, will meet their just end. Jude 1 and 10 says, "But these rail at things whatsoever they know not, and what they understand naturally, like creatures without reason. In these things are they destroyed." And these are people that proclaim to be God's people. "Woe unto them, for they went in the way of Cain, and ran riotously in the error of Balaam for hire, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Korah, of course, seeking a position that wasn't his. "These are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts." And God could clean them out now. We've experienced that. "When they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves." And I think shepherds here wasn't in the numeric. "That without fear feed themselves." So it goes beyond that. "Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead and plucked up by the roots." Of course, you can't be twice dead unless you're twice born. And here's the clincher here. It says, "Wild waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars." So they didn't keep their principality, did they? "For whom the blackness of darkness hath been reserved forever." Okay. So, Sandy said, "I'm watching the waves come in and out, and every time they came in and out, they got further back, and the waves got bigger," meaning they got more and more captives devoured by the dragon, right? If the sea is the wicked, they got bigger. Of course, in a natural, that's when they draw back is when you got a tsunami coming, right? Okay. Then I noticed that the current was taking people further out. I believe this means taking captive the people unto death and the death of the beast, you know, because I mean the mind of the flesh is at enmity with God. And, of course, people that get caught up in it, they get worse and worse. And God knows who's going to do this. And he knows who's going to escape. Then I looked up towards the sky, and what I saw was two satellites, or some other kind of contraption in the middle, That's when I knew they were controlling the waves. So, man's eye-in-the-sky technology controls his armies of evil waves to attack the seed of Abraham. But guess what? It's just like all those battles we spoke about. We know we win and they lose. Anybody who is taken into captivity for chastening, it'll be good for them. You don't want to take somebody that needs chastening and put them in a refuge. God knows that. They'll just be trouble to everybody. Then I saw that people were being carried by the current. It was happening fast and quick. People did not even know that they were in danger. Well, in Nazi Germany, people were carried by the current of that beast, and they didn't care for God's people, did they? They were caught up in that spirit of anti-Semitism, and this time, of course, it'll be both that and anti-Christianism, right? Then I saw four teenage boys, and I tried to get their attention to beware of the current. They did not listen and got pulled in and drowned. Yeah, you warn people not to go to that, not to listen to that, not to give in to that spirit of the world, the things of the world. But they don't listen many times and they're drowned. And of course, you know, and I know people who have been drowned and God resurrected them. Praise God. He's wonderful. He can answer your prayers, saints. Then, to the right side of me, I saw a boy and a girl around 2 or 3, and they were crying. And I said, "Where's your mommy?" And they said, they didn't know. And I said, "Well, where's father?" They did not know. And I picked him up, and I was trying to walk above the shoreline. And as I was walking, I could feel the water trying to pull me into the ocean. In other words, she's out there in the world here, you know, out away from the sand, out in the water, trying to rescue people, right? So you have to be careful when you're out there trying to rescue people that you're not taken out too, right? And as I pressed forward, I knew the waves behind me were getting quite large. It was completely unnatural. And the boy started screaming, "It's here! It's here!" And I turned around to see a wave about 12 feet or higher, and I yelled, "Stop!" And, of course, it did. The wave stopped in midair. And this reminded me of 2 Samuel 22:5, "For the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid." And Job 38:11, and said, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further," speaking of the waves, right? "And here shall thy proud waves be stayed." See, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven, right? And Psalm 65:7, "Who stilleth the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves," the people, right? "And the tumult of the peoples," he's calling the tumult of the peoples the roaring of the waves. Have you seen any roaring lately? I have. Psalm 89:9, "Thou rulest the pride of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." Psalm 89, of course, is that man-child chapter where he gave authority over them, right? Zechariah 10:11, "And he will pass through the sea of affliction and will smite the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the Nile shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart." In other words, from off the people's neck, off of God's people, right? Praise God. They were taken down by the Red Sea, and God's people went through on dry ground and went into the wilderness, unhindered by the old man. Then Sandy said, "The wave just stopped in midair, and so did the people around me." See, because the people and the wave are the same thing, right? Jeremiah 51:42, "The sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof." And 55, "For the Lord layeth Babylon waste, and destroyeth out of her the great voice, and their waves roar like many waters." The great voice, you've heard it. Out there, all the railing and stuff going on during this election season. The noise of their voice is uttered. She said, "They froze in motion except the children and me." So all the people around them that were the enemy and the waves froze. And the wicked were held back by the Lord so that they could walk right through it untouched. It's kind of like the Red Sea again, right? This has happened to me, folks. "Then I was able to get past the shore, and I was safe from the water. Then all the action started again." In other words, the waves and the people. So God just stopped them, just like the Red Sea, a wall on both sides, right? Couldn't touch them. Time resumed when they were in a safe place, right? And to the left of me was an apartment building, 4 or 5 stories high. Apartment buildings sometimes are talking about a church or Christianity. It can be positive, it can be negative too. People were realizing that the water was killing them, and they tried to run into the apartment building. Well, we know that nothing physical or fleshly can bring safety. Abiding in the secret place of the Most High, who is Jesus, the Word of God, is what safety is. Apartment buildings many times represent churches because it is many houses joined together into one. Most churches are not safe from the judgment of God. Sandy said, I tried to stop them and to tell them it was going to crumble and fall. Yep, all of Babylon and their religion is going to crumble and fall. They did not listen. They refused, and this is my words, they refused him who speaketh, as in verse 25, which I'm going to read to you here. But she said, I got to the top of the hill, representing the hill of Zion and safety, and the little girl looked and said, oh no, because a second wave came and demolished the building, the one that she warned them about to get out, and they wouldn't listen. Well, come out from among them and be ye separate, so you won't be a partaker of the judgment on their sins, right? The things that people trust in can be shaken, but Jerusalem, the place of the bride, cannot be shaken, just as the Lord said. I'm going to read you this text in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18. For you're not coming to a mount that might be touched, and that burneth with fire, and unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them. They didn't want God to speak to them, or they said they would die. If you receive the word of God, you will die, right? To self, right? For they could not endure that which was enjoined. Nobody likes death. It's painful, right? If even a beast toucheth that mountain, it shall be stoned. So the beast couldn't come up on that mountain. Amen? Not this spiritual. Any other mountain they can come upon, but not this spiritual mountain of the bride, right? And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come, so you haven't come to this other mountain, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, not the earthly Jerusalem, which, by the way, is the heavenly Jerusalem is born from above, just like we are born from above. We need to continue that process until we're just as beautiful as the bride, and then that'll be our place, the heavenly Jerusalem, right? And to innumerable hosts of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. They did refuse her voice, and it cost them their lives. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warneth them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him who warneth from heaven. And the Lord is speaking, saints. The Lord is speaking through these dreams. He is warning from heaven. And when we share these dreams, we're warning on earth. People need to listen. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. Oh, yes, and it's coming. We've been talking about it a lot. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, like Babylon, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. So you don't want to get into those things that are made and think that they're going to protect you. It's those things which are not shaken that will remain. Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace. whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Then she said, "Okay, Lord, we're ready." Then me and the children were back home in Tennessee. She was translated to safety with those who the Lord wanted to escape. And of course, these could be spiritual children too, so or physical. She said, "Well, in a previous dream, Sandy had many children in her house, but didn't know where they had come from. And now, I believe this might be an answer to that." I was translated personally to preach in tongues to a group of people in Eastern Europe when I was much younger, and I preached for a few hours and then was translated back to my home. And in a vivid dream a few years after this, the Lord showed me that He was going to give me a gift to translate others out of harm's way. And I saw them stand beside me, and we would translate together. I believe that this, like all gifts in the Scriptures, will be transferable to others, however the Lord wills. And later the Lord told me that this would be common in these last days. Sandy said, "Then to the right of me I saw Merlene. I was happy to see her because I knew that she had come back from a trip too. So God will use many in the Spirit to help others escape. They will call on the Lord and be saved, just as He said." She said, "Then I saw David walk towards me." I believe this is a type of the David man-child leadership that's coming soon. And he said, "Well, you're back. How was your trip?" I said, "It went well according to His plan." Praise the Lord. And then when I put the kids down, I looked behind me and I saw 70 people who had come with me. Well, all were translated to safety through God's servants. In this case, 70 represents forgiveness, as Jesus said, right? And the fullness of time for some of God's people to be in captivity to the beast kingdom. Like Jeremiah 25 and 9 on down, it says, "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land." That's his apostate people. "And against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about," which he's talking about in that text, the whole Middle East, which is what Babylon has done, right? "And I will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." So 70 represents the end of captivity for people whenever they come out of captivity, I guess. Daniel 9 and 2 also says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet for the accomplishing of the desolations of Jerusalem, even 70 years. So at the end of 70 years, Jerusalem's going to get restored, which is what we're coming to right now. And Sandy said, "I asked for a verse by faith at random and received Psalm 91 and 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under foot." Oh, praise God. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him." Love, of course, is what the bride has for the king, right? He will deliver the bride, and they love him because they keep his commandments. Amen. If you have faith in what Jesus did at the cross, you will keep His commandments too. You will be empowered by God to do that. And I will set Him on high because He hath known My name. Well, knowing His name is becoming familiar with the Scriptures, because knowing His name is His nature, character, and authority. Some people have a fairy tale Jesus, and that's not knowing His name. And you don't get delivered by a fairy tale Jesus. It's got to be the real Jesus, right? He shall call upon Me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him My salvation. And the Lord reminded me, too, of Malachi 4 and 1 through 3. It says, "For behold, the day cometh, it burneth as a furnace, and all the proud and all that work wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear My name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. And you shall go forth and gamble as the calves of the stall." Sounds like they're just going to have a good time. "And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says the Lord of hosts." God's people are not going to be helpless and hopeless in these days. The seed of the Lord will endure. And we know the seed of the Lord is the Word, and the Word manifested in you is what you and I need to escape all these things. Because Jesus, you remember they tried to trap Jesus, and He just passed right through their midst because He was the Word. They couldn't even, He said, "No man takes My life. I lay it down." He laid down His life to save us. We have a lamb. We have a sacrificial lamb. He laid down His life to save us. So accept His salvation, He said, "and show Him My salvation." Salvation is having all your needs provided, just like a baby. Soteria, right? "My God shall supply your every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Oh, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Lord, we praise You and we thank You for this awesome exhortation and encouragement. Lord, You will take care of those wild waves of the sea. You will bless and deliver Your people through that Red Sea, which Pharaoh and his army essaying to do will fail. And in the wilderness, we will have the training of the man-child. Oh, awesome God. Thank You, Father. Lord, we ask You, Lord, to continue to show us exactly what You're going to do. We know that we need to be seeking Your face every day. We know that we're coming to the end of this particular time period, and things are going to change very quickly here. So we ask You, Lord, to lift our hearts up in faith, encourage us, grant us repentance from anything that's displeasing unto You, draw us unto Yourself. And we just thank You for doing that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.